And good afternoon. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And today we're going to be speaking to an authority on the Middle East, Zafar Benghash, crescent-online.net. And Zafar has traveled widely there, is very, very knowledgeable. And we're going to ask him, of course, about the events unfolding in Aleppo and Mosul. I hope I pronounced that right, Yemen. And at the halfway point, we're going to be speaking to a professor in Oregon, Tiffen Dixon, who was a lawyer at International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. And we're going to be talking about these Globe and Mail front page articles by Jeffrey York and Judy Rever, one of them titled Kagame Allegations Reopen Genocide Probe. And this, as anyone listens to the Taylor Report knows, is an issue that we are very interested in. And we need to know what happened on April the 6th, 1994. Two African presidents were assassinated, and the United States, France, Britain, did nothing. And African leaders called out for an investigation. How do you murder two African presidents? One stroke, and nobody explains what that was about. So we're going to talk to Tiffen Dixon about this. Now, by the way, I'll just tell you that at Beit Zetoun on October the 21st, 7 p.m., 612 Markham, Eve Engler is going to be talking about his new book, A Propaganda System, How Canada's Government, Corporations, Media, and Academia Sell War and Exploitation. And on the 20th in Hamilton, he is also speaking. And I'm going to give you the particulars of that later, but I believe we are joined now by Zafar Benghash. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
Well, Zafar, it's very good to be talking to you because you, of course, have been familiar with and watched the struggles unfolding that are commanding today's headlines. And we need to know your thoughts about these things and information. Going with the first one, there is a trend of stories. It says that the city of Mosul is about to be engaged with the Iraqi forces seeking to liberate that city. And I want to link it to, of course, I better say that this seems to me it's a tale of two cities, because the profile of the fighters in Aleppo is that they are extreme Islamists with a very obscure but very dangerous ideology. And they are armed to the teeth and have been in the past successful. In a neighboring, not so far away city of Aleppo is in a group similar profile that the Syrian government has been seeking to finally conquer. In the case of Aleppo, I hear from the American ambassador that he wants to accuse Russia and Syria of war crimes for attacking these Islamist elements, quite fanatical. But in the city of Mosul, the word for the fighting is liberation. Discuss, as they say. How can this be true? How can it be liberation for Mosul, but it's a war crime to attack them in Aleppo?
Well, this basically relates to the fact as to who is fighting these terrorist groups in what city. As far as Mosul is concerned, since there are American troops involved, according to the Pentagon's admission, there are 5,200 U.S. troops that have joined the Iraqi forces and the Kurdish forces. So obviously the Americans only liberate cities, and the people that they fight against are terrorists. But when it comes to Aleppo or elsewhere in Syria, the terrorists that have taken over or controlling the eastern part of the city, they are referred to as either moderate rebels or freedom fighters. Mm-hmm. So we have really all of these different labels being used depending on who is fighting whom. Mm-hmm. So if the fighting is done by forces that are led by the U.S. And their allies, then that is to liberate territory. But mm-hmm. when the fighting is done by forces that the U.S. opposes, then those forces are unfortunately supposed to be allegedly committing war crimes. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the difference.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we can say, can we not, that Russia actually has been expressed a willingness if they would, if Iraq would like the help. It's entirely, there's not a contradiction between them and the Iraqi government.
That is correct, yes. In fact, Russia has been trying to help in this situation. And I can share this information with you that a few hours ago, Russia announced that it was willing to stop its aerial bombing in the eastern part of Aleppo if that would help the situation so that humanitarian help can be delivered to the city. Mm-hmm. But as we know, there was an earlier ceasefire that was unfortunately blown to pieces by an American attack on a Syrian military base mm-hmm. Where nearly 100 Syrian soldiers were killed and several hundred wounded, which obviously shattered the ceasefire. And then last weekend, there was another attempt, although nobody paid or put much sort of score on it. There was another attempt at meeting in Switzerland between the U.S. Secretary of State as well as the Russian Secretary of State, and of course, foreign ministers from Iran and Saudi Arabia and a number of other countries were also present. Again, there was an attempt to see if a ceasefire could be brokered, but it could not. It collapsed. The talks collapsed, and so fighting has continued in Aleppo and in other parts of Syria.
Yeah, and could you? I saw something today. I think it was a journalist I trust very much, Charmaine Narwani. I urge people to look at her articles. But they were saying, reporting that that Qatar says we have solved the problem of rearming the Aleppo elements.
Yes, of course. You are right. Charmaine is an absolutely brilliant, writer. She has her pulse, her finger on the pulse of events over there, as are, incidentally, our own Eva Bartlett. She has been in Syria many times, and she has done some excellent reporting, as well as Vanessa Bailey from Paris. Vanessa, mm-hmm. I believe, is still in the region, in Syria or in Lebanon. And she has done, all these three ladies have done some excellent work. Mm-hmm. And I wish more people would pay attention to what they are reporting from the ground, what they are witnessing, what is taking place. So, for instance, to give you an example, Eva had reported, when we had all of these, Western media outlets reporting that the last pediatrician in Aleppo was killed in bombing by Russia or Syrian Air Force or whatever. And she pointed out that what these media reports are actually talking about is not true, because Eva reported that there are at least 1,000 doctors operating doing their job in Aleppo. What they are saying is, what the Western media is saying, and they're not giving correct details, is that this particular doctor that they were referring to was in the eastern part, in the part that is under the control of these terrorists. And so there is concern only for the terrorists, not concern for mm-hmm. Syrian doctors operating in other areas of the city of Aleppo. Mm-hmm. So this is how these distortions come in. And naturally, people sitting over here, well-meaning people, that regrettably do not have access to accurate information, and they are taken in by the propaganda on CNN or BBC or these other media outlets. So what I would strongly recommend to your listeners is that they should, when they want to know about the reality in Syria, they should Google Eva Bartlett's name or Vanessa Bailey's name or Charmin's name, mm-hmm. and they will find out very, very good coverage, excellent reportage. You're giving very, very accurate information of what is taking place.
Yes, and by the way, they're very professional, and they are marginalized only by powerful people who know their quality of their work, indeed have published it.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this, you know, they simply turn off the power, and we don't get to hear what they have to say, but the quality of the reporting is as it was.
You see, to add to that, Eva has been reporting from inside Syria. She is on the ground. Vanessa Bailey has been doing the same thing. Regrettably, many of these other reports that we get, they are not from inside Syria. Their sources are this so-called Syrian observatory sitting in England. And this is a one-man show that mm-hmm. basically is beaming anti-Assad government propaganda from England. And he's paid by the British government, and they keep on churning out this nonsense, and then the BBC takes it, the CNN takes it, Fox News, and all these other outlets. They sort of report as if the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights is actually a credible organization. It's a one-man show sitting in Croydon, England, and he basically churns out anti-Assad propaganda that is lapped up and reported. And these same media outlets ignore reports that are being delivered from inside Syria, from the battlefront, from the actual front where the situation is, where these mm-hmm. very, very fine reporters are on the ground giving blow-by-blow account of what is taking place. Yeah. And they have no particular axe to grind except to report what the truth is.
Yes.
And that that truth is obviously, unfortunately, not palatable to some of these so-called mainstream media outlets because it does not fit into their narrative and to their policy of demonizing Bashar al-Assad and his government and projecting these terrorists as moderates and people mm-hmm. that are struggling for their rights.
Yes. And by the way, this is the voice of Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net, another place one ought to go to get solid information. And I was just visiting there today, by the way, and there's many things I'd love to ask you about at the Crescent today. But I want to make sure I ask this. We're now once again seeing the word moderate being introduced and also numbers being manipulated because, after all, a major fight is unfolding in Aleppo. And this is not going to go on forever because the Syrian forces are gaining ground. And continually, the reference is made by John Kerry, Secretary of State, U.S., that about the moderates. But, you know, I never get any help with this. If there's a moderate leader, why can't we see him? And why doesn't he give us a speech? And could you tell me, who is the moderate leader, and what is his program or their program? Usually, when you say somebody's a moderate, that's your title. Then you have to fill in the rest of the blanks.
Yes.
So who is this person? Is there even such a person in Aleppo or a group that stands up in front of their flag and gives a little speech?
Very, very good point that you raised, Phil. You see, here is the situation. These are labels that are thrown about by John Kerry and other Western leaders and rulers. They keep on talking about these moderate rebels. These are heavily armed people. They have committed terrible crimes over there. And as you pointed out, if they are moderate, why doesn't their leader or leaders come out and say who they are?
Moderate to us.
Exactly. I really don't know how one could call them moderates when they go around terrorizing people, when they go around killing people. And, they keep on saying that, well, there are hundreds of thousands of people starving in Aleppo, whereas these terrorists don't seem to have any problem feeding themselves and the hordes of mercenaries that are with them. Then they keep on getting weapons from from mm-hmm. Qatar. They keep on getting weapons from Saudi Arabia. They keep on getting weapons even smuggled from Turkey, although Turkey is beginning to change its position a little bit because it has had to suffer the consequences of sleeping with these scorpions. It has been stung a few times.
Yeah, or woke up with fleas, as they were told in Proverbs. Yes.
So in that sense, this whole notion of moderate rebels is just a figment of John Kerry's imagination. Yeah. There is no such thing as moderate rebels. These are mm-hmm. murderous thugs. They, in fact, should be arrested and put on trial for war crimes against the Syrian people. I think, ultimately, it's the Syrian people that should decide who should rule in their country. And I think, if we go by the...
And those are the peace terms, aren't they? I mean, we have the peace terms drawn up that say just exactly that.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So who are these characters?
Yeah. In 2014, for instance, June 2014, the Syrian people had an election that was observed by independent international observers, not linked to any government. These were independent people. They mm-hmm. went at their own expense to see exactly what was taking place. And they reported that these elections were fair and free. And they could only, of course, go to the areas that were under Syrian government control because there were no elections in areas that were under the rebels' control.
But there's also a commitment to elections following people putting their arms down.
Yes.
And participating in the process without prior discrimination against them. If they
Absolutely.
Want to run on the moderate ticket,
sure.
just tell us what the moderate ticket is.
Exactly.
I remember guerrillas. I remember Fidel in the mountains, and he used to give interviews, and he said, I want land reform.
Yeah.
And I would like to see the poor of this country finally get the wealth from it. And I said to myself, that sounds like a good program. I think I'd vote for that. But here we just have this word propped up and behind it, this little naked John Kerry.
Absolutely.
It's a joke.
So, whatever it is that it's John Kerry who sort of represents the moderate face of the rebels. And so he is their spokesperson, official spokesperson.
Yes,
and that is what is going on in Syria, unfortunately, today.
Well, it really leaves no choice. But the Syrians and the Russians have offered over and over. The documents are there. Anybody who wants to leave Aleppo can leave Aleppo. And as a matter of fact, I think on the 20th they're going to open a corridor again.
Yes.
These moderates apparently want those people as human shields. And again, I link that to Mosul, where I'm being told that, of course, in Mosul, where the Americans and the Kurds and others are engaged, they say, the bad guys are using the people as human shields. let me walk you over to Aleppo. This is Zafar Bengash we're speaking to, crescent-online.net, wonderful site. And Zafar, we really have another issue, which also takes us back into history. The United States Navy said that someone in Yemen fired at them.
Yes.
Didn't hit them. And
yes.
There is no trace of this. But they went ahead and fired Tomahawk missiles. And they did strike targets, apparently predetermined ones, because they were radar targets.
Yes.
In Yemen.
Yes.
Well,
the Americans have actually
What is
made,
that about?
Now they have made actually three claims. The first was... About a week ago, the previous Sunday, they said that somebody had fired missiles, and obviously those missiles fell in the sea. They did not strike any of the American ships. Incidentally, these American ships are imposing an embargo or siege on Yemen so that no food or any aid can be taken into Yemen. And then they alleged that since these missiles were fired from areas controlled by Houthis, that therefore they must have been responsible. Now, the Houthis or their representatives have categorically denied ever firing any missiles at American ships. In fact, they simply cannot afford to do that because they cannot expand the theater of war even further when they are already overstretched in confronting the Saudis. Now, just to sort of let you know that on Sunday a week ago, or Saturday, about 10 days ago, there was a funeral gathering in Sana'a, the capital city of Yemen, where the father of the interior minister had died, and there was a funeral ceremony for him. And the Saudis fired 9 missiles into that hall, killing more than 140 people. And another 525 people were injured. Initially, the Saudis said that we don't know anything about it, we are investigating, and so on. And then 2 days ago, they admitted that they said, yes, it was our forces that had fired these missiles, but this was a mistake. It was by mistake that we fired these missiles at the building. Now, you can't fire 9 missiles by mistake into a building. And in any case, it was well known, it was announced ahead of time that that's what is taking place over there. It's a funeral gathering. People had gathered to come and pay their respects. In fact, the mayor of the city was killed, and a number of other officials were killed, but the vast majority of people killed were civilians, women and children, etc., that were killed. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that this story about the so-called missile strike on the American ships is an attempt to divert attention from the Saudi crime, because mm-hmm. the Saudis, of course, are allies of the United States. Mm-hmm. So in order to divert attention from that, they have come up with this story that missiles were fired at American ships, and that's why the American ships had to go and destroy these radar sites controlled by the Houthis, or they're operated by the Houthis. Mm-hmm. And the Americans have said that these attacks have occurred 3 times. If there have been any attacks, first of all, I'm very, very doubtful about them, but if there are, I'm absolutely certain that these would be carried out by people linked with the Saudi regime in order to provoke an American attack on the Houthis and their fighters, who are called Ansarullah, so that they can be weakened and that the American or the Saudi-backed forces that have absolutely failed to make much headway in Yemen, because the vast majority of people don't support them, that would then enable these Saudi-backed forces to gain some ground or some territory in Yemen. So I think this is the game that is being played. Mm-hmm. But I also want to point out that the United Nations itself has said that not only are about 22 million of Yemen's 24 million people suffering severe food shortages, there in fact some of millions of them are actually starving. There was a couple of weeks ago, there was a brilliant documentary on the BBC on television that showed the plight of the Yemeni people, how children were dying because they didn't have medicines in hospital, etc. But the fact that UN officials have said that the number of hospitals, the number of schools, the number of people's homes that have been destroyed and factories, that these probably constitute war crimes, that there should be a proper investigation of these mm-hmm. attacks. And if the Saudi regime and its commanders are found culpable, then they should be tried for war crimes. Mm-hmm. And I believe that they are being shielded and protected by this propaganda that goes around that somehow the Houthis fired missiles at American warships that are in that region imposing a siege on Yemen.
Yes. Again, it's Zafar Venkash, crescent-online.net. Yes, the U.S. is, need to be reminded, just as you did, that there is a siege, a blockade, and they're also providing logistical assistance to the planes of Saudi Arabia. As a matter of fact, we've read that the British are in the actual control rooms in terms of guiding aircraft, et cetera. Much culpable.
Yeah, both the Americans as well as the British are deeply involved. And I think it's also pertinent to mention that during Obama's presidency for the last 8 years, Saudi Arabia has purchased $85 billion worth of weapons from the United States. And now there are discussions for another $115 billion worth of weapons. Mm. And most of these weapons, as we know, are being used against the people of Yemen as well as the people of Syria, unfortunately.
A new liberal and very, very diplomatic and wonderfully progressive prime minister and his government, they don't have any problem with giving weapons.
Exactly, $15 billion worth, yeah.
But they think it's important to do it with a smile. it is an unfortunate business. And, you know, last thing, I want to go back to Aleppo for just a moment. You know, we've heard about this phenomenon. I know you've certainly been watching closely. The so-called civil defense, Syrian civil defense, which is the name of the internationally recognized legitimate Syrian civil defense, which is based in Damascus and belongs to an international body of 53 other countries. But there is a Hollywood version of the civil defense called the White Helmets, which only operates in eastern Aleppo and issues press releases identifying the Russians almost every day of the week as guilty of a crime. And it said, well, we have to, our heart goes out to the people who are suffering. It's always civilians, never the bad guys. Apparently nobody ever hits them, according to the Western media. But there is this much larger civil defense organization trying to do its work in all of Syria, and it is under sanctions. Is it not? It can't. The U.S. has a blockade mentality and a sanctions mentality against Syria, so they don't actually have the quality of equipment that the imposters have.
That's correct, yes. And this fiction of white helmets, basically these are, again, part of this Western-backed group that is operating in eastern Aleppo under the control of these terrorists. And, it's interesting that these terrorists don't say anything to these guys, so-called white helmet guys. And yet, as you mentioned, the Syrian civil defense is not allowed to operate there. And that the U.S. has actually embargoed them or declared them illegal. And so they are unable to operate in that region. I mean, the Syrian civil defense is a legitimate organization. They are prevented, and this nonsensical group, so-called white helmets, have been created that are nothing but a propaganda arm of these terrorists. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, a lot of disinformation is being spread. People are being misled by the activities of the so-called white helmets.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's Zafar Benkash. And last question I realize I should ask you is, these elements, like you say, the U.S. has 5,000 troops now involved in Mosul.
Yes.
And you also said that, did you say Peshmerga?
That's correct, yes.
So are you concerned? I mean, will Baghdad be able to control its own territory? With their elements here are not entirely enthusiastic about the government of Iraq.
That is correct. You see,
what do you think is a likely outcome if these forces were to, if they're going to claim they're in charge or take charge, is going to be a problem, isn't there?
Absolutely. In fact, Masoud Barzani, who is the president of the so-called Iraqi Kurdistan, an independent state that he claims, he announced today that 200 square miles of territory had been liberated around Mosul. I'm assuming that he meant that his forces, the Peshmergas, had done so. And so you are quite right. This is a very, very serious issue. If, let's say, the Peshmergas control that territory, then Iraq's territorial integrity would be gravely affected. In fact, there are, attempts being made to divide Mosul into 6 or 8 cantons based on ethnicity, which would be a disaster for that whole region, because
it'd be a shoot 'em up like they had in Baghdad.
Exactly. Then you would have the second largest city of Iraq split into little cantons, and they'll all be fighting each other. And
walls and bombs.
Absolutely, yes. Regrettably. Yeah.
Well, Zafar Benkash, crescent-online.net. I'm really glad we called you today. I'm glad you had the time to share with us. And
it's
we look forward
pleasure.
To talking to you again.
Absolutely. Take care, Phil. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIT, 89.5 FM. Maybe we have a little Lee Morgan. This is how we pass our time here. And then when we come back, we will be speaking with Tiffan Dixon.